Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the weekend podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 2nd and 3rd of January. 2021 is what it should be. God, New Year's messing up my dates. Yeah. But I'm joined by Hugo, and Hugo's going to be telling me about the climate lockdowns.
Yeah, it's like happening for like a month or something like that. It's like every day, 2020 off. Right, climate lockdowns. That's a thing, apparently.
Yeah, so this is... So COVID lockdowns, people are pretty familiar with at this point.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, there's a lot of COVID, therefore we've got to lock down the state. Mm-hmm. But a climate lockdown is what's being proposed.
Yeah, so... It's a video has been doing the rounds of Mark Morano being a guest on Tucker's show, and there's the article from Real Clear Politics about it, where in the video, which we're not going to play, but he says that the idea of the climate lockdown is being introduced and is being pushed, and Tucker has his Tucker face, so we know something's up. So he says, Morano, by the way, is the guy behind the page. I can't remember exactly, but it's a climate skeptic webpage that is quite famous. There's a lot of resources on it, so he's famous in those circles.
And he defined himself as a climate skeptic.
Yeah, I think so. Like it's his kind of personality. I think I don't know much about him other than that, though. So he might not agree with it. So, like, please do other research as well. So what he says is that, quote, what they're trying to do, you saw Biden allude to it there with Build Back Better. They're trying to essentially use the COVID lockdown model for the climate emergency model. And they are going to go from COVID lockdowns to climate lockdowns. And so that's, he says that, and he didn't really say where he got it from, but I looked into it, and that's what we're going to talk about afterwards. Yeah. Because
I mean, this is something
it's a real thing.
So. Yeah, I've heard the Green Party actually talk about this unironically behind closed doors.
Green Party in the UK.
Yeah, so there was a lady who co-founded Extinction Rebellion,
right?
And she gave an interview where she said, "Yeah, we were talking with the Green Party at the time, and we were running the numbers. How do we get it below this amount within this number of years?" And they just came to the conclusion we're going to have to turn off the electricity for 2 days of the week. And
it's going
to
be like the 70s.
Yeah, people were like, she was like, "Are you guys nuts? This is not going to work. That's not a solution." And they were, none of them could agree with her. And she ended up leaving the Green Party and Extinction Rebellion because of it.
And they were like, "No, we can do this. We have precedent from the 70s. Thatcher ruined it."
Well, they weren't arguing like that, but it's not unprecedented for radical
well,
Greens.
That's not a good thing.
No, it's not unprecedented for radical Greens to argue this.
Yeah, and so Morano continued. Senator Merkley, Democrat for Oregon, came out today and is urging President Joe Biden to declare a national climate emergency, which would give him emergency powers that he could bypass democracy, much in the same way that blue state governors have already done with the COVID lockdowns. Right, and so he's saying people are already pressuring him, or that this senator is already pressuring him. I think there might be much stronger pressures on Biden to do something like that, just because it's a thing, and as we'll see soon, it's real people, credible people saying this, right? And so what Morano also mentions is planned recessions and the degrowth movement, and he says that this is part of what the UN is talking about. Morano says that he's been to many talks and debates and conventions that the UN has held over like 20 years or something, and that these have been concepts that people have repeated over and over, like degrowth movement and planned recessions and things like that. And so that sounds a bit sketchy, but actually Klaus Schwab, in his book COVID-19 The Great Reset that we've covered on the weekend podcast here, he talks about these things too. Like he doesn't say they are necessarily positive. He just says, okay, this exists and this is what it means, right? So it's not something that Morano would just like pull out of somewhere and it wouldn't have any basis in reality, right? So this is a real thing. So it's we're not going to talk about them here now, but it's something that people should probably look into if they want to be informed of what
Klaus Schwab and
what goes on in the UN sometimes and in other venues as well. Right, and so that's just something that is sad that's going on. But this was Murano's appearance on Tucker, and so this was doing the rounds. And what's behind it? What's the basis of it, right? Because he was just saying this without claiming, without saying anyone's name or without citing any sources. And so the first article that we have here is how the institutional response to COVID-19 can prepare us for climate change. And this is an article that is very vague, that is kind of weird, just because it says something, but you have to like read between the lines because the person who writes it honestly doesn't write very well. So it's not very clear what he means often. But you can find out if you spend a long enough time on it. And so what he says essentially is that institutions overall need to change to be able to respond to climate change. And so the institutional setting, what he means is politics, economics, and everything, international institutions, things like that, need to change in order to be able to respond to climate change. He says that international institutions already have some of the structures that are needed to address climate change, but national institutions aren't there, so they should be there and they should be built up or kind of converted into be able to take care of this issue better. And so he says, quote, political institutions' response to the pandemic could be a crucial dress rehearsal for a transition to a different economic model in the face of climate change. And so this is probably one of the things that Murano was talking about in that clip. He's saying, okay, this is a dress rehearsal. That's kind of a weird statement to make. But then again, this person is an academic. He's got academic credentials and he's written for a lot of institutions, but he doesn't have any public position. He doesn't hold any institutional power or anything like that. He just has informal power, as you can see by him writing on the World Economic Forum's webpage. And so dress rehearsal is something that he sees the lockdowns as preparing us for something that might happen in the future, because it will need to happen if you want to solve climate change. That's his position. So he says that a different economic model is needed, right? And that economic model...
Sorry about the siren. Daily siren.
Yeah, daily siren. So that a different economic model is needed, and the change to that model will be something along the lines of lockdown. So the way that a lot of institutions have changed and have transformed over this year, like something like that might have to happen so that this kind of new structure exist.
If I wanted to be charitable there, I could say he's looking at, say, businesses that operate in offices in London that are extremely expensive, and they've all sent their staff home to work on laptops, and therefore we wouldn't have to pay for transport costs and whatnot. Therefore, there's a saving there in terms of climate. And that's what he's looking at, if I was being incredibly charitable. But I imagine that's not where he ends his argument.
Yeah, so I appreciate the charitability, but but that's not it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I'm going to quote some more. He says that the lockdowns are presumably a success, like they have been like very, very good things. He doesn't say that, but that's what it seems like. So, quote, the response of most countries has been impressive in both scale and scope. At a minimum, it is remarkable that, even without any previous experience, many countries have chosen to shut down their economies at unprecedented cost in order to protect the most vulnerable in society. Some have observed that such a response to the pandemic has provided a crucial dress rehearsal for how political institutions might fare in sustaining a transition guided by science to a different economic model in the face of climate change. So he's saying the governments and states have done all this, have done these massive things, and equally massive things can be done, therefore we can see it because they have been done. They can be done for some purposes if we just...
Therefore, it's legitimate to do it.
If we just try enough. He's he thinks that it's legitimate to do it for climate, but he also, what he's mainly saying is that it is possible to do it for the climate, right? So just by saying, just by the virtue of it having been done for some purposes, he's saying if we want enough, if we try enough, this can be something that can happen, right? And so a dress rehearsal, right? So it's probably but relevant to point out that lockdowns have been a failure, and they've been proclaimed a failure and identified as a failure and analyzed as a failure by many people, and just talking about them as if they were a success of some sort is just, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it.
So. Certainly not a credible position at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even if you want to argue that, oh, when we do more studies 2 years from now, we'll see that they actually did work in achieving their goals.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's not the case now, is it?
Yeah. And so he's saying what I was quoting before, the countries have chosen to shut down their economies at unprecedented cost in order to protect the most vulnerable in society. But this wasn't the process. The process was saying, okay, by locking down, we will save this number of people. But almost no one ever looked at what lockdowns actually do and what the cost is on the flip side of the coin, right? And so this was just broadly ignored on any time lockdowns came up. So it's just bizarre that he frames it like this, because it's not clear that most vulnerable in society get protected by lockdowns and not exposed to other things, other public danger, public health things that might put them in danger, right? So it's just sad, right? And so the last quote that I have from him here is him talking about how it's going to go in the future, or how he imagines it might go. So, quote, to ensure politics is fully mobilized towards implementation of institutional change to solve climate problems, individuals will need trustworthy national institutions to help them understand it, especially if they are to bear some of these costs. This is where the pandemic holds an important lesson. In countries that have successfully implemented lockdowns, public health institutions have earned sufficient trust to guide those decisions. So he's saying, governments have earned, and institutions have earned their trust by managing lockdowns correctly.
I mean, name a country that's overwhelmingly trusting of its government after a bunch of lockdowns. I mean, I don't know about you, but every time I see a lockdown take place, like, the trust in the government and the government's ability to handle the virus seems to decline proportionally.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have no idea. Like, where does he live? Like, what planet is he living on? Like, this is not real, right? He
doesn't have any links or anything. He just says it.
No, he just says it. And like, if anything, the opposite is true, right? Like, and at best, like, nothing, no change in trust has happened. But there's definitely not been an increase in trust. And so him saying, okay, this is a good model for the change that we want to see in the future, because it has promoted this kind of trust is weird. It's just bizarre. So I don't know what more to say about this. This is just weird.
Okay, but this is a guy proposing climate lockdowns, and he's laying out the rationale for us.
He's saying that society will need to change, and because of the climate crisis, and it will need to change institutionally, and the way and the extent to which the institutions will change will need to be similar to what has been done during the lockdowns. And so he's saying, okay, the lockdowns are a good precedent for what we will need to do in the future because of climate change.
I mean, obviously not.
So he's not saying it outright. He's not saying yeah, those explicit words, but it's there. Right, and so this is from the World Economic Forum webpage, and this is one article from a series of articles and resources and things like that, which is on the World Economic Forum webpage under the heading "The Great Reset," which is basically a collection of these resources curated by the World Economic Forum. So this is part of it. So let's move on to another article, which is simply called "Avoiding a Climate Lockdown." So what he didn't say explicitly, the author of this piece says explicitly. And so who is the author of this piece? It's Mariana Mazzucato, who we already talked about last week. It's a big name. She's a big name in contemporary economics. She's like a popular economist celebrity, let's say, something like that, in academic circles, right? She's one of the people who are featured quite a lot on in the Great Reset resources, and so she's that kind of a person.
She's a proponent of this kind of thing?
Yeah. So her background is, we already talked about this last week, but just quickly, she's a UCL professor. She is the founder and director of the Institute for Innovation and Public Purpose. And she has a master's in economics from the New School for Social Research, which has been called the home for generations of radical intellectuals. So that's her background. And so she has a lot of books, a lot of appearances, a lot of talks, everything. She's very public, and she's this kind of progressive socialist kind of.
Okay.
Economist.
So from that, I'm sort of guessing her position is that climate lockdowns are a good thing or they're inevitable or something.
Yeah. So that's actually interesting because she keeps oscillating between those two positions, right? She's framing it as avoiding a climate lockdown. So she's saying we need to do things to avoid it, but she's also saying those things will probably not happen, so we will have to do the climate lockdown. So she keeps like switching between those positions in that article a little bit, but it's one of those two positions that she holds both. So she says, quote, "The world is approaching a tipping point on climate change when protecting the future of civilization will require dramatic interventions." So, tipping point. Okay. That's something that we've been hearing from environmentalists for a long time, and before
decades at this point.
Before the pandemic, it was headline news most days. It was just like this is the most urgent thing, urgent issue of the day.
If it must have been at least 2019. I mean, when's Greta Thunberg getting out there? Yeah, I remember the climate crisis becoming a massive.
It was 2019. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is something it's not just 2019 either. I mean, for years, it's always been this is the time. This is the only moment. We have no more time to waste.
Yep. And so she continues. As COVID-19 spread earlier this year, governments introduced lockdowns in order to prevent a public health emergency from spinning out of control. In the near future, the world may need to resort to lockdowns again, this time to tackle a climate emergency. So explicitly
saying it.
Explicitly saying
it. We need to shut down all of the society in the same way we did for COVID because of the climate.
And so she's being so specific, quote, "Under a climate lockdown, governments would limit private vehicle use, ban consumption of red meat, and impose extreme energy-saving measures, while fossil fuel companies would have to stop drilling. To avoid such a scenario, we must overhaul our economic structures and do capitalism differently." So
this coming from a socialist type.
Not surprising, but... at the same time, I find it kind of interesting that these are the things that she's focusing on: private vehicle use, consumption of red meat, because those are things that have been floated before, but and have often gained attention from a lot of the public because of that kind of outrageousness or something, like to many people. And so I think what she might be doing here with mentioning these things specifically is to produce kind of a Streisand effect, to try to fish for it. And so she's mentioning these things, but it's probably not these things that are the most important, right? Maybe they are, but I would guess that she has more things that she would want to see other than these two or three things under the climate lockdown, right?
Yeah.
And that's nothing conspiratorial. That's just that.
I mean, just take restaurants. I mean, restaurants are the big thing, the big closed down for the lockdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you read Conquest of Bread, like when you need communal kitchens, it's, you know, restaurants are a massive waste of everyone's time because you could just cook at home.
I
can't imagine she's not eyeing that up as well.
No. I don't think that's her position, but if you...
I bet she's eyeing it up. Like, this is a huge waste of electricity and causes a lot of carbon dioxide compared to cooking at home. Therefore, If you made the argument to her, how would she refer?
I haven't heard her saying the opposite. So
people like this, they probably couldn't refute it, and that's the point.
It's we just joking now. But if you look at any of her public appearances, or her talks about how she thinks, like this is not just limited to these two or three things that
who's she writing for here? I forgot. Who's she writing for here?
It's Project Syndicate, but the same thing also appeared on a couple of other websites.
Okay.
So it's not limited to this.
So this is what's being pushed through the World Economic Forum.
Yeah. This is a resource that I pulled from their repository on the Great Reset as well. So then she says we must overhaul our economic system to avoid catastrophe and things like that. That's typical of what these people usually say. And then she says, COVID-19 is itself a consequence of environmental degradation. And there's no explanation. This is just out of the blue. Like, she just says it, right? And I can imagine what these people think and how they think and what the thought process is. But here I'm just
China's system of buying meat. I mean, we're just assuming it's from the Wuhan market. I don't know what the evidence is on that at this point. I'm just assuming it's true. That, therefore, what, capitalism did this? I mean, I'm sure the Communist Party of China would agree that that's what's going on.
I have no idea, but apparently...
Capitalism is to blame, comrades.
Apparently climate change caused the goof. So, right. So she goes on. There are distorted values underlying our priorities. For example, we demand the most from our essential workers, including nurses, supermarket workers, and delivery drivers, while paying them the least. Without fundamental change, climate change will worsen such problems. One thing is that, for some reason, due to climate change, the workers that are now labeled as essential will be paid less. Which is weird. Like, what's going on? I don't get it. But what I want to focus on more is the framing. She's saying we demand the most from essential workers. So what if we turned it around? Like, the essential workers are the only ones that are allowed to work, right? Everyone else has been prohibited from working or restricted in some ways, and so these are the people who can actually earn a living.
Surely they're the privileged class.
Well, like, not necessarily like by virtue of what they do, but the government has kind of made them into it's like, yeah. we're part of it, right? We're part of the privileged class of essential workers, like we're in this studio. So,
but there's the thing, like Carl mentioned earlier on the podcast we did, probably yesterday, the time it's gone up, but who is essential?
Yeah.
You know, what is essential? Well, if it's just determined by a socialist who cares for nothing except the fact that society keeps turning. I mean, of course they're going to think that, you know, we should feed people and get them to go to work, and that's about it. You know, joys in life, luxuries are not needed, all the rest of it. So, I'm suspicious of that, on the fact that she said, well, we need to pay these people more and make them, the only job, or that should be essentially the privileged class.
I don't think that's her spin. Like, she's...
But the idea that basically the base... needs of the society is all that's required, and you get this from climate activism, why we're talking about climate lockdowns is that's all that should be required, and it's like, that's not life.
The climate lockdown thing is presumably predicated on that, like, you can decide what's essential and what not, same as the old lockdowns, right?
So all the perceived luxuries in quotations will be purged.
Exactly. And so someone is going to decide what is essential for you and what is not, and what is not essential will be shut down to limit carbon emissions.
Okay, I mean, restaurants essential, for example.
Hard to tell. You know, I don't know. I don't know how they think, how they will decide.
She would say no. It's not essential. You can cook at home or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, let's say it causes more climate output, therefore we should get rid of it. But of course, what's essential is not down to some bureaucrat or some lady writing for the World Economic Forum or whatever. It's down to the individual. What is essential to you? I mean, what do you actually want?
Yeah. So she continues, finance needs fixing too. During the 2008 global financial crisis, governments flooded markets with liquidity, but because they did not direct it towards good investment opportunities, much of that funding ended up back in a financial sector unfit for purpose. This is not real socialism. There's nothing else, right? So she's saying, okay, the financial crisis was being solved by the Fed or a lot of central banks flooding the market with new money and buying up debt. This was not done correctly, right? This was she's exactly the kind of person who would, and I'm very sure that if you go back at what she was saying, then she was saying, okay, like we need to do this. This is important. Like this.
And now that hasn't worked. Exactly. Well, it wasn't the right way of doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And so the not real socialism thing is a thing, and she's just gonna say the same thing after what she's proposing now.
Climate lockdowns
is gonna fail in the future. Is gonna produce something the opposite of what she wants. Mm. She's gonna say that no, this is not real socialism again.
You know, the World Health Organization has come out and said the lockdowns cause one thing: poverty.
Yep.
So if we do climate lockdowns and it causes mass poverty, well, don't worry, it wasn't real climate change activism,
exactly.
Something like that.
So because she's just gonna flip on this too when this inevitably fails in the future, if it happens, no one should listen to her. She's not a credible person to listen to.
But this is part of the Great Reset. What's been pushed?
It is. She's one of the big people who support it and who give it kind of intellectual credibility. Yeah. Right. And so she has a closing paragraph where she speaks in a very like weird way. A lot of these people do this. I mentioned this already last week, where they use the term "we" and "us" as to invoke like camaraderie between like me or you and them, right? As like we are all in this together, society, right? This is the royal we, right? And so just instead of the we, instead of the us, just change it in your head to meaning her personally or what she wants, right?
Yeah.
And not a society. So, quote, "The window for launching a climate revolution and achieving an inclusive recovery from COVID in the process is rapidly closing. We need to move quickly if we want to transform the future of work, transit, and energy use and make the concept of a green good life a reality for generations to come. One way or the other, radical change is inevitable. Our task is to ensure that we achieve what we want while we still have the choice."
Hmm. My task is to achieve what I want.
Exactly.
Makes so much more sense, doesn't it?
while I still have a choice. So the window is rapidly closing. Okay. Good. This is the state of politics at the end of 2020 and beginning of 2021.
But this is why it's so absurd to see people pushing the Great Reset, which is just like, either you have no idea what you're talking about, or I don't know, you're a maniac. I mean, climate lockdowns. I mean, even the co-founder of Extinction Rebellion was like, this is nuts, I'm out. So,
to be fair, this is not something that is pushed by many people who support the Great Reset, and not by Klaus Schwab himself. This is not like a central part of it, but it's something that is popping here and there.
I can see why it comes along with it.
And
I can see why people think the two and two go together.
This avoiding a climate lockdown article has been kind of floated there. It's been seen as it's like she's been like floating a balloon and looking whether it sticks or not, whether like someone reacts to it and who and how. And so if the reception is good, then more things are going to be unveiled.
Yeah. So. But you have some more stuff about the Great Reset. It's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it is a conspiracy theory, and I'm going to talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, so tune in for that.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.